I am Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS. When I'm looking for guests on these shows, quite often great book titles get my attention. And this one is a great book title. It's called The Taking of K-129. And the subtitle is How the CIA Used Howard Hughes to Steal a Russian Sub in the Most Daring Covert Operation in History. It's not a novel. It's a true story that started in the early months of 1968 when a Russian nuclear ballistic missile submarine was on its way from Kamchatka, which is not just a place in the board game Risk. It's an actual place on the Siberian Peninsula. From there to Hawaii on, I guess, a routine patrol, and then it vanished. And what happened next is a fascinating story, and I've asked the author to come on here and talk about it. This is Josh Dean. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
This is a really, really fascinating story that grabbed me right from the very first pages. How did the U.S. know that the Russians had a submarine in trouble in 1968? What kind of technology did they have? Because modern technology, I can understand. 1968 technology? How did they know?
Well, you'd be surprised. During the Cold War, you know, the stakes were so high, that existential, really, that the most important thing that both the U.S. and Soviet navies worried about was the location of each other's nuclear subs. Because if war were ever to break out, that was sort of the X factor, and who might win or lose could be the country that had the most mobile platforms that were still alive. Because, you know where the ICBM bases are, you know where the bomber fleets are, but a submarine is hidden in secret. So we would watch them, and we knew that a sub had been lost because there was a massive search that was observed. They weren't trying to do it in secret. Basically, the entire Pacific Soviet fleet was looking around for something very frantically. All of their ships, their planes, submarines just steaming around. So clearly they've lost something. And it was pretty easy to surmise that it was a submarine that probably sunk out there. And they abandoned the search ultimately because they couldn't find it. But the U.S. had a trump card, which is a system of underwater hydrophones that had been installed to listen for submarine traffic, basically. And what these things were able to do was pinpoint what was an explosion or an anomalous sound and then triangulate the location. So they knew where the sub was, and the Russians did not.
Once the Russians, the Soviets, as we called them in those days, abandoned their rescue operation, how many men did that mean they had lost?
Almost 100. So, or was it 102? The exact number I don't remember, but basically about 100. That number has actually been in some conflict because there are people who will tell you that there was some secret detachment on that submarine, but more or less 100. And it was during a time when submarines were, 1968 when this happened was actually a very bad year for submarines. Four different subs were lost.
Wow.
The U.S. lost the Scorpion, the Soviets lost K-129, an Israeli sub went down, and a French sub went down. So a major tragedy, very rare now, but not super uncommon back then, especially for the Russians.
Okay, so then the Russians abandon it, and the Americans say, okay, well, maybe we can get in there and we can find out some Russian secrets. What were they hoping was on board that they could use?
Well, it was considered an unprecedented opportunity to get, I mean, the two main targets would be the nuclear missiles themselves. So it would be the whole package, basically. The warhead, which would tell them what kind of nuclear fissile material they were using, what the detonation package was, how they were guiding their missiles, all these things, questions that our scientists would have had. And then also the cryptography gear, so the way that they were transmitting coded messages. And you might say, well, they're just going to change the codes. Well, yeah, of course they are. But if you have their machines, then you can reverse engineer the ways in which those machines are made. And you can also go back and look at the intercepts from the previous year when they weren't changing the code. So you can say, we've intercepted all these coded messages, now we can read them. And they're going to tell you all kinds of things about the way they move and, their patrols and the locations of material. And then, sort of third, but not
insignificant was just the submarine, to know like how they were made, what kind of steel they were using, where the weak spots might be, how good the radio and the sonar was. None of these things were things the U.S. Navy would have known. So it was considered unprecedented. If you could get your hands on one, it would be an unbelievable haul.
This story sounds like it might have inspired Tom Clancy's Hunt for Red October.
Well, Tom Clancy was at the Naval War College when all this went down, so it's been said that he was perhaps inspired by this. Let's say that.
Okay, now what was the Howard Hughes part of the plot? How did he, here's this billionaire recluse crazy guy, how does he get involved in a CIA plot?
Well, so the job of getting the sub was handed to the CIA because they were like, we're going to have to do this in secret. The Soviets are not going to be happy. So they had to come up with an engineering strategy and then a cover story. So they devised this elaborate plan to build this huge ship in a recovery system. And the sub was lying 3 miles down at the bottom of the ocean, orders of magnitude beyond where anything had been salvaged before, let alone a submarine that weighed 2 million pounds. I mean, we're talking like moon landing complexity here. But the CIA, working with some contractors, they built this incredible system, one of the great engineering feats of the 20th century, to sort of reach down and grab it. But that was a huge ship in a something you just can't hide, and it was going to need to be in secret, so they needed a cover story. And the cover story became, well, we're going to say it's an ocean mining ship, and that it's a novel ocean mining ship that's mining the bottom of the ocean, and no one's seen one of those before, so they can't question why this thing is so big or so weird. But there was another piece of that is like, well, if the U.S. government is going mining, that's an obvious cover story. Like, no one is going to believe that. But a private company, and they settled on Howard Hughes. They said, this is a guy who's eccentric, he's famous, he's a patriot, he's known for not caring what the public thinks of him. Like, if we could convince Howard Hughes to say he's mining the ocean, then the world might just believe this story. And all those pieces came together.
So people's reaction would be, well, you know what, it's Howard Hughes, he's eccentric enough and he's rich enough. We don't know what he's mining for or whether it's going to work, but that's the sort of thing Howard Hughes would do.
Exactly. You know, he built the Spruce Goose, that gigantic, the world's the largest airplane ever built, you know, and it only flew once.
Yeah, that's right. In the book, you talk about how the CIA, and I love this, they even staged managed news conferences to keep the public informed on the progress of the mining that they weren't doing.
Exactly. I mean, it's so incredibly well executed. They fooled everybody, including the Hughes Company's PR guy. When he was later briefed and found out about it after the operation, he was like, oh, my God, all those interviews I was setting up were lies. They had a team of scientists and representatives from the Hughes Company going out to academic conferences and delivering talks, giving interviews to journalists. I have stacks of clips from all of the world's major newspapers talking about Howard Hughes' mining operation. It was, the cover story was incredibly well thought up and executed, and it held together for 4 years.
Now, I got to say, I am not a big fan of the United States government lying to United States citizens about what they're doing. This is what we went through with the Vietnam thing. But they did it so well, it leads me to the next question. Here you are doing a book in which some of your sources are some of those people who were in the intelligence community and at the CIA at the time. How do you know they're telling you the truth, Josh?
It's a good question. And I actually could nod to this in the afterword of the book. They're like, can I say with 100% certainty that everything I was told is true? I can't. But what I can say is that the vast majority of my sources were contractors who did sign secrecy agreements, but have now, for various reasons, decided that those are no longer valid or they're not going to be enforceable. Or the CIA basically had declassified parts of the story now. So I was able to sort of triangulate enough of the information that I'm reasonably certain that all of the major conclusions and facts are true. But can I be 100% certain? No, you're right. I mean, these are professional liars.
Now, there are some people who believe that the Soviet Union was actually planning on using that sub to launch a relatively up-close attack on the United States. One of them, in fact, even says that they found a missile in the ready-to-launch position on board K-129. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so there are a number of conspiracy theories about, because of the secrecy that the circumstances and the secrecy and the way the government clamped down on the story, despite part of it becoming public, it sort of created this vacuum where a lot of stories came out. And one fairly widespread theory is that it was a rogue submarine that, like, a crew of KGB separatists had decided to use it to start World War III, and they were going to attack Hawaii. But so that premise is based on a location that puts the missiles within range of Honolulu. And I can tell you definitively, this I know to be true, that the submarine was lost in a location. I have paperwork and eyewitness testimony that it was not in the place that that theory requires. So it was well outside the missile range of Honolulu. So that all signs point to an accident. Now, a missile did burn up in tube, but that's not because a launch was being prepared. I think what was happening is that they were actually probably carrying out some sort of test firing exercise, which subs might have done. So basically you go up to the launch depth and you go through the procedures of what a launch would be like, but you don't actually ever fire the missiles. And it seems like a fire broke out, which breached the hull, let water in, and then it sunk.
So you can confirm that this was not a rogue submarine and it was not captained by Sean Connery.
I can confirm that. And, I've had some online fights with people about that, but I can confirm it.
I bet you have. Now, this huge piece of equipment that the CIA had built for them by these contractors to pick this sub off the floor of the ocean 3 miles down. And by the way, they didn't get the whole sub, did they?
No. Everything worked except that there was a malfunction during the lift and part of the sub broke away and went back.
And it's still there.
As far as we know.
Has that equipment ever been used to lift something off of the ocean floor again?
As far as we know, no. Now, again, there are some... Part of the reason that the Navy supported this mission was because certain members of leadership thought this could be valuable for U.S. salvage, and I think it could have been, but it seems that that actual system and all its pieces was never used again. It had been re-engineered to go back and get the rest of the submarine when the cover of the operation was blown. And then the ship went through sort of a long and tortured afterlife, and it was actually turned into a prototype ocean mining ship for real at one point.
Huh.
And they sort of changed the machinery to do real mining. It was too expensive at that time, and then in the end, it became a drill ship, and it was just scrapped 2 years ago. So it had about a 40-year life.
So we spent $800 million American taxpayer dollars on a one-time deal.
Yeah, I like to say it's maybe the most specific tool ever designed.
Yeah. Could this happen today, Josh?
I don't think so. I mean, I have no question that the CIA executes covert operations that we're never aware of. But
of course.
I think they're much smaller and more surgical. This thing was so big. So many people were involved. The ship itself was so giant. And in a world of cell phones and social media, and I just think that people would have been picking it apart online. They'd be sharing pictures, and engineers would be saying, well, that doesn't look like, you know, that piece wouldn't be on an ocean mining ship. Or, you know, somebody in a bar would show a picture. It just seems impossible. But, you know, I'd love to think that I'm wrong and we're still capable of doing, like, audacious things in secret when necessary. You know, like, sometimes people ask me, like, young people, I don't really know much about Howard Hughes. I'm like, he's sort of like Elon Musk a little bit. You know, this sort of just eccentric, audacious guy who aims for the moon. And then I thought, what if SpaceX is a cover story, you know? Maybe these rockets are some secret plot.
Now, there have been a few submarine movies. The most famous, of course, I just mentioned was The Hunt for Red October. There was another one with Harrison Ford, and there have been a few others along the way. Yours is a true story. Have you sold the film rights yet?
It's in the works. Most likely will happen soon. It would make a great movie, right? I mean, I agree. Let's hope.
That Harrison Ford movie I just looked up is K-19, The Widowmaker. Again, that's fiction. Yours is nonfiction. I think this would be a terrific movie. I hope you do sell the rights, and I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, me too.
Josh, thanks for joining me here today.
It was fun. Thanks for having me on.
Josh Dean, the book, before it becomes a movie, read this book. It's a really fantastic story. Well told. It's The Taking of K-129, how the CIA used Howard Hughes to steal a Russian sub in the most daring covert operation in history. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.